You heard it, right?
Yeah.
It sounded like muffled.
Yeah, we both hear it. It's coming.
Busy police!
I opened the door. I saw pieces of her on the floor.
Carla, this is the Albuquerque Police Department. We're not going away. You're not free to leave. You need to follow our directions or force will be used against you.
I need a peep. I need a peep.
It's Thanksgiving Day, and a retired couple in Albuquerque, New Mexico, has invited their family over for a holiday dinner. But when the family members arrive, they find the house locked up tight and no one is answering the door. Fearing the worst, they break in, only to find a revolting scene of unimaginable horror inside the house. It's early afternoon on November 24th, 2022, when a woman named Tammy calls 911 with grave concerns about a family member.
911 emergency.
Yeah, I need to get PDOV to my brother's house. We need a welfare check. Something's wrong.
Okay.
We can't get in the house and they're expecting everyone for Thanksgiving.
Okay, so you're at the house right now and just knocking on the door and nobody's answering?
Yeah,
oh.
We checked
where
all the perimeters. What's the address?
Tammy gives the dispatcher a Northwest Albuquerque address before explaining that her brother has underlying issues that add a layer of urgency to the situation.
Does your brother have any, like, medical problems, mental problems?
Yes.
What
does
he have?
He has the same thing Robin Williams had. It's a form of dementia.
Does he live with somebody?
Yes, he lives with his wife. Inside somewhere, we don't know what's going on. Him and her are here, and they're expecting us all for Thanksgiving, and no one can get a hold of them all morning. And
okay,
the
so,
car's here. And
okay, well, I was worried that your brother was there alone and something happened, like he fell. So the brother and the wife, nobody's answering the door, but the wife should be there also.
Yes.
Despite the fact that Carlin DeNio's wife, Connie, is there to care for him, Tammy's concerns are only growing. She recalls the conversation she had with Connie that may be relevant.
She did say, I think yesterday, that he was having kind of a hard time. He'd been having a hard time. So we don't know what that means. It could mean anything, you know?
Yeah, okay.
It's such a terrible disease he has.
If anyone knows Carlin's state of mind, it's his wife, Connie, who keeps a detailed diary of his highs and lows. In one entry, she writes, "He's walking without a walker, even eating real food. This FTD is crazy up and down." On this day, Tammy fears that her brother may have reached a low point.
Yeah, he has had ideations.
Okay.
Yeah, I told her that.
Okay, I set up the call, and we're going to get somebody out there as soon as we can. I'm going to try to get somebody within 30 minutes, if possible.
But Tammy isn't content to wait around.
Should we kick the door open?
I mean, I can't advise that. It's really up to you. If you think that something is wrong, I mean, you have to, you know, follow whatever you believe.
I do think something's wrong.
Tammy's fear is evident, but it's unlikely she envisions the nightmare that awaits her inside.
Yeah, we have a homicide with my uncle.
What happened?
I don't know the situation, but my mom just said homicide. He's
okay, well,
there
I need
with
to...
the wife.
Hold on. Who is deceased?
My uncle's wife. My aunt. He killed her.
We need to find out where he is, if he has a weapon, how is she dead?
He has a weapon? She says she doesn't know. He's in the back room. How did she die? She's dismembered.
Okay. It's okay. I know.
Buddy boy, you know?
Yes.
His traumatized mother gets back on the phone, nearly unable to believe what she's seen in her brother's bedroom.
I opened the door. I saw pieces of her on the floor. And he was kind of in the bed, and he kind of looked at me. But there's pieces of her all over the bedroom.
Well, okay, so what pieces did you see of her? I know it's disturbing.
I just like backed out.
What did you see, though? Did you see her hands, legs, face? Did you
maybe her face.
Okay, so he saw you?
Yes.
Did he say anything?
Nothing. I backed out. I just backed out and told everybody, get out.
You guys are supposed to have Thanksgiving there?
Yes.
Unable to come to grips with what she's witnessed, Tammy's mind tries to reject the horrifying reality.
I think he cut her up.
And he never
maybe
came
I'm
out?
Wrong.
I'm sorry?
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I didn't see that.
What do you mean? Why do you say that?
He surely couldn't do that.
You don't think he could do that?
No, I think he could. I think he did.
Okay.
I know he did.
Okay.
Oh, God. I never will get over this. Okay, here's PD now.
Do you see them? Do they see you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm so sorry, okay?
Okay.
I'll pray for you. You take care. Bye.
The family members have been inside.
All right. Are you
Carlin. Carlin Dano. D-E-N-I-O.
I'm going to switch to lethal.
Okay.
And cover that front door. Just watch your back around this corner.
You got it.
Take a step back. Yeah. Perfect. Cover me.
Why?
Can you clear that vehicle?
I can. Let me go. Looks clear, sir. Okay.
Carlin, this is the Albuquerque Police Department. Can you hear me?
Police officers begin flooding into the neighborhood, all of them hoping they can avoid any violence while apprehending Carlin.
If you can hear me, can you tell me if yours is okay? Do you need help or medical assistance?
With no response from inside the house, the police try to gather more information from Tammy and her family, who are watching the tense scene from the street.
Are you family?
Yeah, I'm Taylor. I'm the Mitchell caller.
Are there any guns inside the house?
No guns. Yeah, he doesn't believe in guns, which is kind of wild. But he's obviously got something because of what he did. So we don't know what kind of object, tool, weapon he might have. You know. So.
Okay.
All right. He's very tiny. He only weighs like 90 pounds.
Okay.
He's very afraid of the police.
Okay.
So that'll add to his paranoia.
Okay.
And when I went into the bedroom, I just opened the door and he was laying kind of crosswise in the bed and she's on the floor. And I was so horrified by what I saw. And he like kind of moved and looked at me and I just like backed out.
Okay.
I could probably go in and get him to come out.
No, we're not doing anything like that. Okay.
Because
I would not when it's like this moment.
No.
He'll run if he sees that, you know, he might try to.
Okay, well.
He's clearly dangerous.
Tammy says what every officer already knows, and they can't afford to assume that Carlin is unarmed, no matter what the family reports.
Attention residents in the area of Mr. Delco. The Albuquerque Police Department is a police emergency.
Yep.
Carlin, this is the Albuquerque Police Department. You need to come to the open garage door.
Around the back of the house, cops try to get a better vantage point.
Okay, here, hold this one. Or can you hold this for a sec? That way we can try to get
the leg up.
Good position on it.
Put the bedroom up straight ahead, so.
Slippery.
What would this hold here?
I'm trying to think, man.
I think we just hold here.
Until LT could go into their yard and hold, but it's deep on that side, I think.
It's deep on both sides on all this.
No, I'm trying to look into these people's yards. Yeah, okay. Just hold here, though.
Out on the street, Tammy insists the family did everything possible to avoid just such a tragedy.
See, here's what I don't understand. Like, when this all happened, we told them you got to get rid of all butter knives, whatever.
Okay.
So why the hell are there knives in there?
Mom. So what we would like you guys to do is just kind of step back. We have it from here.
Okay.
We're going to do our best to make sure that there's a peaceful resolution. Okay. It's going to be an incremental process from this point. We'll keep you abreast of what we're doing and why if you want to. Okay.
He does have like dementia kind of.
Yeah. He's just not there.
Where he might be lugging, but there might not be.
He might seem perfectly.
So.
But he's not okay.
Carlin has been diagnosed with a form of frontotemporal dementia, a disorder that can lead to violent behavior in a small percentage of patients. Police must keep this diagnosis in mind as they attempt to make contact.
Carlin, this is the Albuquerque Police Department. We are not going away. You're not free to leave. You need to follow our directions or force will be used against you. I need you to walk out the open garage door with your hands up and empty. Outside.
Meanwhile, Carlin's siblings, Tammy and Darren, try to impress upon the police their fears about how this confrontation could play out.
He has had ideations in the past, so I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to get shot or something. That wouldn't surprise me.
Okay. Although he doesn't have any weapons, other than knives. I know that the police presence will scare him really bad, and he probably will not comply, but you guys could take him down in seconds.
Carlin's family believes that he poses no particular threat to law enforcement, but that doesn't mean the police are going to let their guard down.
Any chance, you, he came with a firearm, you just go behind me and get cover, okay?
Yep.
I know he's there, but just...
Hey,
somebody, hey!
Albuquerque police, come out with your hands up. Show yourself.
Movement, Sarge.
Show yourself. Let me see your hands.
Sir, come outside.
Come outside to the sound of my voice.
I'll let you do that.
Do it with your hands up and empty.
Garage.
We just heard, on that side, sir. We just heard some noise on the garage, like someone talking, possibly from inside.
Right? You heard it, right?
Yeah.
It sounded like muffled.
Yeah, we both hear it. It's coming.
Police! Do you have eyes?
Oh, he's right there in the doorway. He's in the doorway. Yeah. Yeah, he's right here in the doorway. He just clapped. He's up.
What?
Hey, move your vehicle up. Move this vehicle up to here so we can get eyes off.
Carlin, you're okay, buddy. Nobody's gonna hurt you. Come on out and talk to us.
Yeah, what do you want?
Keep going, sir.
Keep moving. Keep coming. Keep coming.
Okay.
Right here. Stop. Push up. All right, he's naked, covered in blood.
Carlin!
Crawl towards us.
Come on out, Carlin.
Hey, Justin, I'll take over command. You want to move up with your rifle? What's his name?
Arlen.
Hey, Arlen.
Carlin.
Hey, Albuquerque Police Department, okay? I need you to crawl towards us, okay?
Carlin is either unwilling or unable to comply, which leaves the police with only one option.
Okay, so listen, if we're going to step up and take him into custody, you hold him.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to get as close as I can and hold the open door.
Yes, sir.
You guys get him into custody. You guys good with that?
Yes,
we have a less lethal up.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we got a 40.
So we're going to do it.
If I need
truck.
To go taser, I'll go taser.
We're
going to
do
a 2-10
truck.
Don't you
want
to taser? You hold him.
I got the open door.
Yep.
The vehicle in the garage has already been cleared.
Okay. I got a taser in case we need it. I'm gonna come
Keep your hands up. Go on your stomach.
Hey, let's drag him on his back all the way out here to the driveway.
Okay, I gotta go back to back with the deal. Hold him. I got the open door.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Flip him on his back.
Yeah.
Just drag him out.
Let him know in the back that we're gonna that we have the house.
I don't know if that's him or somebody else. We have rescue in route, Eric.
Yep.
Go ahead and stand up.
Sit up.
Somebody inside the house.
All the way up.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Hey, right here. Sit on the rock.
Sit down.
Sit down.
Sit down.
Don't move.
Rescue stepping up.
Don't move.
Yeah,
Carlin appears weak and disoriented, and when he begins talking to the police, his comments are even more troubling than his appearance.
It's something I don't know what to do.
We got help on the way for you, all right, sir?
There's no help for me.
No?
Well, what are we going to do, Thomas?
We're going to get you some help, though.
There is no help for me. I've already died.
The officers aren't sure how to respond to that declaration, but there are more urgent concerns to deal with at the moment.
How many do I have with you? You got four behind you, including. And when you go in, you're going to step to the. You're going to step right here to my light, and you're going. Everybody's going to go with Dio, stack up on him, and I'm going to hold everything right, and then I'll figure it out when we get in. All right, everybody in lethal. On you, Dio.
Yes, sir.
I'm with you, sir.
I'm going to fight
you. Yeah.
All what you have, you.
So, that look at the master bedroom there. Let's move a little forward so we can check this hallway. Police department!
Though the officers have every reason to believe that their only suspect is out on the sidewalk, they must carefully sweep the house to make sure no additional threats await them inside. However, nothing is going to prepare them for the horrific discovery they're about to make.
Now, you guys are good to hold. You're coming with me.
Got it.
Okay, you're going to step in and hold the hallway. Dio, me and you are both going into this room.
Yes, sir.
Right here. Go.
Ready?
Let's get through.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We gotta clear it.
Yep.
Could we head over there, Sarge?
What? There's stuff all over the bed.
One in custody. I have a severely dismembered body inside. There's no need for rescue.
Clear?
Clear.
Sarge.
The grotesque sight has some officers heading quickly for the exits.
I need a puke. I need a puke.
Hold here.
He's coming out. 34, it's a 34. 34 coming out the window. Oh. Yeah, I'm good.
The brutality of the bloody crime scene sends one officer looking for an alternative way out of the house. Meanwhile, the exquisitely upsetting nature of the murder is reflected in the way the cops check on each other in the aftermath.
All right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen one that bad in a while. That's probably the worst one I've ever seen.
Yeah.
My stomach just got turned in there, man. I just scarfed down a bunch of turkey.
You all right, bro? No, I know. It's nasty.
How you doing?
Good? Yeah.
Did you see everything or not?
Yeah. That's
it.
While the police do their best to respond to each other's needs, they also have in custody the man who has the answers to who may have caused this murder.
I see all of you guys.
Huh?
I see all of you.
You see all of us?
Yeah.
What does that look like? He's got one. We see you.
Yeah.
Yeah. How you doing?
I don't know.
You don't know? Do you have any cuts on you?
Yeah, I'm totally mutilated.
You are.
We need rescue up here. We need rescue up here, though.
There's no rescue for anyone, I guess.
Well, they're coming, sir.
I'm sorry to do this to everybody.
All right, I mean, we'll talk about it, okay? Where do you have your cuts? You said that you're totally mutilated.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, you're still walking around.
Not real.
Where on your body? All over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Carlin's statements may seem off-kilter, but it's now almost clear that he may have taken Connie's life.
He's got cuts. He's got a laceration. He's bleeding pretty good, man.
Okay. All right, Mr. Khan, let's get you standing up, man. Oh, he has a big one in his leg. Do we need a tourniquet?
All 60, Adam. Were we direct on 43? He's got a very large laceration on his inner thigh.
Do it. Tourniquet?
Yeah, dude. We're not going to let him go 10-7 here.
I'm already 10-7.
Nope.
Where are you going?
Yeah.
It's just going to hurt, sir.
Yep.
You got to do it, man.
Dude, it's like so high over.
Yeah, but it's very close.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh is right.
Uh-oh.
You're doing good, man. You're doing good.
Uh-oh.
It's going to hurt. I'm sorry,
sir. It's going to hurt.
No!
Yeah.
No!
Yeah, sir.
Ah, I see you still.
There you go.
Let him know, tourniquet. It's been applied to his leg due to a large laceration.
Gavin, can you document on the cab that he applied a tourniquet to his right leg?
When Tammy speaks with investigators, she reveals that this isn't the first time they've had to get the police involved.
When he had one of his episodes way back, when it was he was first really bad, he was pounding on his chest. This is what got him locked up in the Mayo Clinic. He had disappeared for 7 hours in the car, and there was a silver alert put out on him, and that was when we realized he's bad.
Indeed, there is still a tweet the Gilbert, Arizona Police Department put up from 2020, looking for the public's help in locating Carlin Denio. When he was eventually found, Tammy says that he was in a frenzied state of confusion.
That was the year of COVID, and he got locked up for like 3 weeks in a psych ward there because he was undiagnosed. Nobody knew what was going on except he was, you know, obviously trying to stab himself to death and hurt himself. But he would say things like, I can't find my soul. I can't find my soul. And he would try to like stab it to his chest. And I'm wondering if that's what he was doing to Connie, his wife, you know, like maybe he was trying to find her soul or something.
There is a twisted motive behind this horrific crime, and it will soon be explained by Carlin himself, along with the dark truth about how exactly he did it. For now, however, Carlin keeps both the cops and the medical workers occupied with his strange proclamations on the ride to the hospital.
See what happened with it.
Where did you get it out? I can take it.
The more I hurt myself, the more I'm gonna hurt.
Yeah.
I was really dumb.
You don't know? Did you didn't mean to do it?
Yeah, I did, but I was already dead. Hurting?
Sorry. We're almost there, okay?
Oh no! Oh no! It's forever. Oh, what a dummy! I was dumb to think I could. I don't know if I killed God or if he killed me.
Carlin's demeanor is strange, but his temperament is mild, which may be why today's explosion of violence comes as such a shock to his family.
I talked to my sister a couple hours ago, and she had said when she was talking to Connie last week that she said, Carlin's not doing that good. He's been having some episodes. And she said, well, what do you mean? And she said, he's been waking up at night really anxious. And my sister asked her, do you think that he would hurt you? And she said, oh, no, no, he would never hurt me. It's himself that he wants to hurt. It's terrible. He would never harm a fly in real life.
Whatever extenuating factors led Carlin to kill his wife, they also led him to do it in a manner so extreme that the story is beginning to spread. One neighborhood woman shares a text sent to her by a retired cop.
He said that they'd probably be here about the next 7 hours, and it's the worst scene the responding officer has seen in 20 years.
Jeez.
That poor woman, I just hope she didn't suffer.
The following day, detectives go to the hospital to learn more about Connie's suffering from the man who inflicted it. But first, they must determine how much Carlin understands about what's happening around him.
I'm just going to ask you a couple questions, okay? Yeah. Do you know where you're at right now?
I know where I'm at.
Can you tell me where you're at?
I'm not. Both places.
What do you mean by both places?
I mean, I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You're in a hospital. Yeah. And I'm forever locked in there, unsaved eternity.
What does that mean?
It means I'm... Nothing anybody can do, including you and me. Fame. You can see my neck.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm guilty.
Okay.
Of anything.
Do you know who the president is?
Yeah, not Trump, but Biden.
Okay. Do you know what today is?
Day after Thanksgiving.
Okay. You know what year it is?
22.
Okay.
Carlin's answers are correct, and he seems coherent. The detective reads him his rights before attempting to find some sense in yesterday's madness. However, nobody could have anticipated the bombshell Carlin was about to drop.
Okay, so to start from the beginning, tell me as much as you can and as much detail as you can recall.
Today? Yesterday?
Yesterday.
Oh, my. It's been going on for years. Building. Fake me. And finally, I just... lost it and couldn't control what I did. And now I gotta pay with so much pain. I won't ever be able to go to court or the lawyer or anything like that, unfortunately.
So you had said it's been building for years.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Just hatred.
Hatred.
Disrespect. That sort of thing. Okay. Now I just jumped out of bed and decided today was the day to inflict that much pain on Connie. Unfortunately, and myself, and you guys, everybody. Yeah, I'm sorry that Connie got the worst.
So you mentioned you had jumped out of bed.
Yeah.
And what time was that at, do you remember?
It was about 5, 6 o'clock.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe 7.
So you got out of bed. Where was Connie?
She was in bed.
And then what happened?
You can see what happened. I just totally mutilated her. Her girl.
Okay. Is she sleeping in bed?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
she woke up when I got up. And
so when Connie woke up, you said she woke up when you woke up. Then he got out of bed. Mm-hmm. Did Connie say anything?
She said, what are you doing? What are you doing up?
What would you tell her?
I said, well, today's the day. I could sit here and deny it, but it's true, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just went to town. Terrible as that sounds.
Okay. You say you went to town, what do you mean by that?
It's a pocket knife.
A pocket knife?
Yeah. We just got the pocket knife. Yeah, it was green. Green handle. Two blades.
The devastation of Connie's injuries compared with the size of the weapon leaves the police shocked when they find the knife Carlin describes on the bedroom floor.
Can you kind of just walk me through, kind of step by step, how everything went down?
Terrible. You started hacking away.
Where did you start hacking away first?
The neck.
The neck?
Yeah.
Was Connie saying anything when you were doing it? What was she saying?
Fighting like a trooper. She was fighting like a trooper.
So then you said you started hacking away at her neck and she was fighting like a trooper. Did you get injured at all while that was happening?
Of course.
How did you get injured?
Cut myself a couple of times when I turned it on myself.
When did you turn it on yourself?
During and after I was finished with what I did to her.
Carlin's description of the murder is dispassionate, and he takes the same tone in regard to himself.
And I understand, like you said, that you turned it on yourself during and after.
I deserve to suffer too.
Okay.
It's not as badly as I made her suffer.
Okay. Where did you turn the knife on yourself?
Oh, legs, upper body, neck.
The hatred and the disrespect that you mentioned earlier, was that hatred somebody else had for you?
It's hatred I have for everybody and the man upstairs.
And why do you have that hatred?
I just started realizing what a failure I'd been and resentful of myself, basically. Resentful of the way I had turned out and just got better.
When it comes to the ultimate question of motive, Carlin's answer is as brief as it is unsettling.
Was there a reason you did so much?
I was taking revenge on God, I guess.
It's unlikely that this deranged logic will bring peace to the family, and Carlin does not explain himself further. As investigators prepare to officially file charges against him over the coming days, his health declines. And perhaps all along, Carlin knew the fate that awaited him.
I won't be going anywhere.
No, you're under arrest.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll an officer will be outside your door until you are good enough to leave the hospital? And then
I'll never be.
Why do you say that?
I can't get better like this.
Okay.
Carlin's last words to the police turn out to be prophetic. Only 3 weeks after the murder, the detective reaches out to Carlin's daughter, Lisa.
Hi, is this Lisa?
This is her.
Hey, it's Detective Watts. How are you?
Good.
Have you spoken with anybody from the hospital today?
Yes, they informed me that Dad passed away earlier this evening.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to reach out and make sure somebody had made contact with you so that way you were aware.
Yeah.
Carlin died while still under hospital care on December 14th, 2022. The following day, the detective meets with Lisa to return her mother's devices. But if he expects to find a grieving daughter, Lisa's reaction is perhaps surprising.
How are you guys holding up?
Good. It was starting to get really stressful thinking about all the legal side of everything. So this is actually, it's a blessing, really. Yeah.
The charges brought against Carlin DeNayo by the state of New Mexico, which included one open count of first-degree murder, were dropped and the case dismissed upon his untimely death.